peace transforms our lives, enabling us to know and love the God who created us, to live freely in accordance with his will, and to cooperate in building a truly human and fraternal society.
Why do I have to go to Mass? Why don't priests marry? Is it absurd to believe in God in today's world? These are just some of the questions that Vatican Radio will be putting to Monsignor John Kennedy, an official from the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, in a new series running throughout the Year of Faith. It's a way of helping people along as they respond to Pope Benedict XVI's invitation to all of us to deepen our knowledge of why we believe what we believe. The Holy Father is also encouraging us to seek out answers to questions of faith by picking up the Catechism of the Catholic Church. This, he says, gives us the food for thought that we are all seeking. So if you have any questions, big or small, questions that you have always wanted to ask but never have, this is your chance. You can send them on to Monsignor Kennedy at our email address, news@vatiradio.va, or on Vatican Radio English Section's Facebook page, and tune in each Tuesday to find out the answers to your questions of faith. Well, here we are once again with our very own official from the Vatican's Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. Busy days, a hectic time, historic time for us, but this week we want to pause and reflect because we are also in the liturgical period of Lent. Many listeners have been asking us to speak more about Lent, so these are the questions that we have to ask you in our second episode on Lent. Last week we discussed the three traditional practices of prayer, fasting and almsgiving. Today, Monsignor Kennedy, we'd like to talk about what Pope Benedict has taught recently on the season of Lent. So, really, has he given any specific Lenten messages to help us along during this season?
Hello, Emer. Yes, in fact, the writings and speeches of Pope Benedict are an extremely useful resource to help us out on our Lenten journey. For our listeners, they'll probably realise that it's never been easier to find out what the Pope has been saying for Lent and indeed for the other seasons of the year, because all of the things that he's written are available to us on the internet. And there are many ways of finding it, but one of the ways I'd like to mention to our listeners is that on the Vatican website, which is www.vatican.va, and if you look at the opening page, you'll see a banner on the top of that page which reads Lent 2013. And if you click on that, you'll be able to read his message for Lent in a variety of different languages. And so this year the Pope has chosen in his Lenten message to share with us an idea that we've probably thought about before. He's linking for us the idea of believing and doing in a message for Lent which is entitled Believing in Charity Calls Forth Charity. The letter of St. John, and particularly the text in the fourth chapter, verse 16, which says, "We have come to know and to believe in the love God has for us."
What does the Pope actually say in this message, though? It's not very long, but it's a very important message.
Well, that's rather typical, really, of the man's gift of being able to write something in a very succinct way. And he knows, and we know too from Scripture, that it's very clear that the early Christians were not only known for their faith in Jesus Christ, but also in the real love that they had for each other. And if you want to look at the dictionary, another word for love is caritas, which is, of course, Latin. And from the Latin word caritas, we get the word charity. And by the fact that the early Christians held all things in common, you could say that they very clearly made the link between saying their faith and doing their faith, because for them, faith and charity couldn't exist without each other. If you'd like to maybe keep an image in your mind, think of a coin. The Pope wants us to understand that our lives have faith on one side, maybe the image of Christ, while on the other side is the practical living out of the faith, or, if you want to call it, the doing good for other people, charity. And that's why the Pope begins this year in his message on a very positive note by saying that the, and these are his words, the celebration of Lent in the context of the Year of Faith offers us a valuable opportunity to meditate on the relationship between faith and charity, between believing in God, the God of Jesus Christ, and love, which is the fruit of the Holy Spirit and which guides us on the path of devotion to God and others. So I suppose you can see here the Pope is very strong on the point that our faith is not something we initiate ourselves, but rather our faith is a response to the love of God. And for Pope Benedict, and indeed for the entire Church, being a Christian is not the result of an ethical choice or a lofty idea, but the encounter, he says, with an event, a person, which gives life a new horizon and a decision, a decisive direction. So in many ways, our faith is rooted or made incarnate, not only by our words, but also by our deeds.
Doesn't Pope Benedict draw a connection between his first encyclical, Deus Caritas Est, and his Lenten message for 2013?
He does, and it's very interesting that his first encyclical, and this will be perhaps, I suppose, the Pope's last official message. He says that we are Christians not just in name, but also because we want to respond to God, and our love is no longer a mere command. It is the response to the gift of love which God draws near to us. And I like to think of the image of a mother and a child at this point. The child, perhaps lying in the mother's arms, responds to its mother by smiling, by reaching out to touch her cheek, simply because the child is and indeed feels loved. And as the child grows and learns to speak, it will find new ways of loving its mother. This is a beautiful way of understanding how God loves us and how we grow in our love for God, always finding new expressions for this love.
Well, we don't really often talk about God's love in such tender terms. Is this something new, perhaps, that he brought to his pontificate, Benedict XVI, do you think?
I think he placed a particular emphasis on this, but the idea of God being someone who's very tender and loving and kind and compassionate is, in fact, a rather old idea. And if you open the pages of the Old Testament, you'll see that it's rather plentiful with tender images of God's love. And for this reason, God's love, as Pope Benedict says, can rightly be described as a passionate love. The Pope then says that the encounter with God, who is love, engages us not only in our heart, but also with our intellect. And his words are, acknowledgement of the living God is one path towards love, and the yes of our will to his will unites our intellect, will and sentiments in the all-embracing act of love. So here you can see he has the double elements of faith and charity again. And talking about love, we've just celebrated Valentine's Day recently, a day when people who are in love with each other often celebrate by giving gifts and by even pledging their commitment to each other. However, we know that people who are in love with each other don't just choose St. Valentine's Day to express their love, or even an anniversary to remind each other that they love them, but rather love is something that continues and grows and develops. And it's exactly the same with our love for God. It's a process which is always open-ended. It's never really finished, because love is never finished. Love is never complete. And so for all Christians, especially for those who have put their love into action by doing works of charity, we feel as if we've been conquered by Christ's love. And accordingly, we're in all the things that we do, we're under the influence of that love. And then that we are able to profoundly open our lives to loving our neighbour in concrete ways.
So being loved has its own influences on our lives. What is this?
Being loved does have its influences on our lives. The reason why we love and the reason why we put our love into practice through acts of charity is because we're very conscious that we are loved first, and that we're forgiven by God, and that we're even served by the Lord, who, if you remember the Gospel, bends down to wash the feet of the apostles and then offers himself on the cross to draw humanity into that love. So in many ways, with such a great love being shown to us, our natural reaction as a response is to love in return.
Can you tell us a little bit more perhaps then about the relationship with faith and charity?
If you really want to understand what the Christian life is about, then the idea of a call and a response is a very good thing to help us. In fact, the entire Christian life is really about God's call to us and our response back in love. And so this response that we make, this yes that we make in faith, marks the beginning of a radiant story of friendship with the Lord. This is what the Pope is telling us in his Lenten message, which fills and gives full meaning to our whole life. But the Pope then says, it's not just enough for God that we simply accept his love. Oh, right, thanks very much. Not only does he love us, and we're very glad about that, and that he wants to draw us into himself, but he also wants to transform us in such a way so as to allow us to say with St. Paul, it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. That's from Paul's letter to the Galatians. And so when we allow these words to really transform our lives, when we make room for the love of God, then we imitate his love. And more than that, we become like him. And this is what we call holiness. Because when we become like God, who is love, we also grow in holiness. And then we're able to open ourselves to his love and allow him to live in us and to truly become active in us. And so if I can give you maybe another thought to ponder, the whole relationship between love and charity, faith and charity, is like the relationship between standing and walking. Faith is like standing in some ways, because it's like knowing the truth and adhering to it. And charity in some ways is like walking in the truth. And faith enables us to recognise the gifts that the good and generous God has entrusted to us. And if we practice charity in our lives, then we make these gifts that we have received fruitful. And in the image of standing and walking, you can't walk unless you can stand. And in the same way, standing is an essential act of walking.
So you're saying that faith can't really be separated then from works of charity. They are intimately linked.
We can never separate or indeed oppose faith and charity. These are, of course, theological virtues, and they're intimately linked. And a look at the Gospel will reveal two characters which help us to understand this. These characters are Martha and Mary. They were friends of Jesus, the brother, sisters of Lazarus. We associate faith and service with these two sisters. Jesus tells us that the relationship with God must always be the priority, and any true sharing of goods in the spirit of the Gospel must always be rooted in faith. And then Pope Benedict adds that charity is more than solidarity, or it's more than simple humanitarian aid. It is important, however, to remember that the greatest work of charity, he says, is evangelization, which is the ministry of the word. There's no action, he goes on to say, more beneficial and therefore more charitable towards one neighbour than to break the bread of the word of God, to share with your neighbour the good news of the Gospel, to introduce your neighbour to a relationship with God, which is the most important relationship we can have in our lives. And that's why Pope Benedict says evangelization is the highest and the most integral promotion of the human person. Today, we're always speaking about helping people to move forward in terms of development. But we should always remember that Pope Paul VI wrote a beautiful thing in an encyclical called Populorum Progressio. And he said that the proclamation of Christ is the first and principal contributor to development.
So what can we say then is our starting point, and what is the goal to which we are all walking or striving this Lent?
Well, essentially, we're always talking about the same point, because everything proceeds from love, from God, and everything tends towards love, the same God. And God's gratuitous love is made known to us through the proclamation of the Gospel. So if we welcome the Gospel with faith, you could say we fall in love with love itself. And then when we dwell within this love and grow in this love, then we can joyfully communicate this to others, not only by our faith, but also by our deeds. And that's why the Pope then draws a link between faith and charity and makes reference to two very important sacraments in the Church. They are baptism and Eucharist. Baptism, which is traditionally known as the Sacramentum Fidei, or the Sacrament of Faith, is when we first receive our faith, always comes before the Sacrament of the Eucharist, which is also called the Sacramentum Caritatis, or the Sacrament of Charity. And so baptism is ordered to, or directed to, pointing towards, if you like, the Eucharist. And it's in the Eucharist that we receive the fullness of our Christian calling and our Christian journey. And in a similar way, faith always precedes charity, but faith is only genuine if it's crowned with charity. It's a very beautiful image that the Pope gives us of crowning our faith with charity. And just maybe the last thing he says here is, everything begins from the humble acceptance of faith. That is to say, that knowing that one is loved by God. But it has to also arrive at the truth of charity, knowing how to love God and how to love our neighbour, which remains for all of us the fulfilment of all the virtues.
Well, we're at our last question on this journey of walking, starting from God's love, walking towards God's love. And are there any more inspirational texts besides Pope Benedict XVI's message that you can share with us, which might just help us reflect a little more deeply this Lenten period on the link between faith and charity?
There is a beautiful hymn which many of our listeners might be familiar with, and is called in Latin, Ubi Caritas et Amor Deus Ibi Est. And that means, where charity and love are, there is God. And as you can hear from that one line of the hymn, the title reminds us of the nearness of God to those who believe in his love and those who practice charity in their lives. It's an ancient hymn, you could say, but it nevertheless sums up what the Pope wishes to teach us this Lent. And usually the hymn is familiar to us because we hear it on Holy Thursday during the washing of the feet at the evening Mass, or during adoration of the Eucharist, and also in benediction. And if I could leave you maybe with a couple of lines from the first verse of the hymn. It says, where charity and love are, God is there. Christ's love has gathered us into one. Let us rejoice and be pleased in him. Let us fear and let us love the living God. And may we love one another with a sincere heart.
And on the notes of Ubi Caritas, we thank Monsignor John Kennedy for joining us this week for another beautiful reflection on our Lenten journey.
You're welcome, Eimear.
Next week is a very particular week for us all here at the Vatican, indeed for Catholics throughout the world. Next week is the last week of Pope Benedict XVI's pontificate. So next week we'll be having a very special programme, because Monsignor Kennedy, when you came to work here as a priest from the Diocese of Dublin all those years ago, you came to work for then Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, so you have worked under Pope Benedict XVI.
It's true.
And you'll be giving us some insights into the man who has led the Universal Church for the last 8 years. So any questions that our listeners might have that they'd like to ask regarding Pope Benedict's pontificate, or indeed regarding what happens once he has stepped down, the so-called sede vacante, or vacant seat, we invite them to send them in so you can answer them for our listeners, Monsignor Kennedy.
It'll be a pleasure.
Once again, that's through our Facebook page, Vatican Radio English Section Facebook page, or via email, that's english@vatiradio.va.